Hi everyone, it's Lily. Hope you are staying safe, and I hope that you enjoy this interview with Felicia and her date with a real-life American psycho. Y'all are not going to believe this. I hope you enjoy, and here we go with Felicia. Bye!
Hello?
Felicia?
Yes?
Hi, this is Lily. How are you?
Wow, hi Lily. I'm okay. How are you?
I am good. How was your day?
It was good enough for a Moscow Mule at 5:30. So.
Well, I'm drinking a vodka coconut water, and let me just tell you, this is one of my Corona confessions. I'm working from home, and I have on my work pajamas. I at least change out of the ones that I slept in and put on the work pajamas.
Fantastic.
And it's a little chilly outside, so I have on my pajama shorts that kind of like ass cheeks hang out a little bit. And I put on a hoodie so I wouldn't have to wear a bra. You know, if you wear a big hoodie, you don't have to wear a bra. And then I put on some of the fuzzy UGG house shoes. And I happen to have some very big Chanel sunglasses with gold lenses. Hair's a freaking mess. And then like a huge Coach obnoxiously huge bag where it was like bougie as hell. And then buying, you know, the vodka with the handle. You know, for $19.99, like, and just looking
like a good look,
looking at people like, I dare you to judge me. And, this is what I'm doing. And there were a lot of people with masks and stuff. And it's like, I didn't have one on. It's like, I, you know, I'm about
You're
to just
rebel.
Call for stop staring at me or I'll breathe on you. so
I think that's a good approach. Generally
just threatening.
Exactly.
Okay, so we have a mutual friend who says that you have some really good stories that I'm interested in hearing, and I don't know them. She didn't tell me anything about them because she wanted me to be surprised.
Wow. But wow, I'm really impressed with her in that case. She's a good secret keeper.
She is. And so just because on this podcast, we are very scientific. We like to do our research. We want to know
very
the
important.
Target. Yeah. You know, we like to be accurate as fuck. So we want to do it. So let's give us an idea. Like, so are you, what part of the country do you live in? Like just the South, North, East, West? What?
I live in the South. Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. But I like to think of myself as an international citizen, but yeah, I generally live in the South.
Mm-hmm. And why do you think, are you like, do you have diplomatic, what's it called, immunity? Or that's not the word.
No, I just like to say that, you know.
Okay. I like it, that.
I feel like it's got more cachet, you know. It's more, like, exciting. But, of course, I think that also attracts, like, the largest psychos. So and maybe it works against me, you know.
So, okay, hold on. I want to get back to that. I'm very interested in that. So... have you been married before? Are you?
Unfortunately, I have. Mm-hmm. Only once. It was a long marriage and to a really, truly nothing but a red flag. But, you know, I was young when we met. And you know how it is, Lily. You know that when you're young, you don't even know what a red flag is. You just think flags are colorless. You're like, they're all.
Or there are obstacles that you can fix.
Or that. Yeah, or that.
How mm-hmm. long were you married?
I was married for 8 years, and I was with my husband for 11 years. So, and we met when I was, like, 21. So, it was, like, baby. I was a baby, tiny baby.
Okay, so we have a little bit of an idea of how old you are. So, that's
yep,
good,
old,
too. No, mm-hmm. not old. I'm just saying. So, you are I didn't mean it like that. I meant, like, so you are a single mother now. That's dating.
I am.
And are you over 30?
Yes, I'm over 30.
Okay.
I am.
So how do you meet men to go out with?
Well, right now I'm in a phase where I'm trying to avoid all the men, and that really has to do with, like, the way that I have engaged with men in the past, and just the, you know, all the men right now are crazy. I don't know what they're doing with their lives. I remember being in my 20s and thinking, like, once I get to, you know, 30 or 40, everybody's going to have it together. And now I'm looking at men in the 40 to 50 year old range, and I'm like, these are the fucking problems. Like, they, I think with women, it's like you have your problems when you're young and then you grow up and you develop and you resolve your problems. And I think with men, it's like they don't even start acknowledging their problems till they're like 47. And then it's like, you know, there's no resolution at that point. So at the moment, I'm not actively dating.
So let me ask you another background question. This podcast unexpectedly, and it was very fun, turned into kind of a Love After Lockup podcast. I've interviewed a lot of the cast, and that is where, I don't know if you're familiar with that show, but they, people who are dating inmates and, you know, what ensues after that. Have you ever been involved with someone who was unfortunately incarcerated?
So I have not, but also I really feel like everyone I've previously dated is actually a criminal. They just maybe never got taken away. So I feel like I've dated a lot of criminals who've dodged the system and would probably be better off locked up. But no, not anyone in active lockup. I have not dated anybody.
Okay. And would you
consider... Maybe that's a market I should tap.
Would you consider that?
You know, I don't know. I feel like I'm getting old at this point. It's like, what, you know, what's next? But you never know. You never know.
Okay. So what has been, did you do online dating?
I did. I tried for probably longer than I should have to, like, you know, find hope in Bumble. I never did Tinder. Because somewhere in my brain, I think I said to myself, like, Tinder is just for sex, but Bumble is for dating. That is foolishness. And, you know, then there's the whole thing of, like, in Bumble, the women can ask first or the can talk first or something. Like, if the men or if the women don't talk, the men can't talk to them. So... I think in my head, I was like justifying it that way. Like, yeah, it's probably a different crop of people. It's like literally not. It's all the same people. And went through, I actually used to joke with people that I was like Bumble power dating because I would just swipe on so many people. And like literally I've gone to a Bumble date and left and gone directly to another Bumble date. Like, thank you for the drink. You know, I'm on my way now. So. In a way, it got to be kind of interesting because there's a lot of themes across the board with these online dating guys. You know, like all of them are, you know, about to be divorced or separated. So, like, whatever that means, right? Sure.
So, you when know. You're dating these guys and going to two dates in the same night, like, is your goal or does it change? Is your goal sometimes to find a meaningful relationship or is your goal sometimes to get laid?
I actually think that my goal is, like, not either of those things. I think that my goal generally is, like, let me see what lies they're putting out there into the world. It's kind of like research, you know, it's market research, you know?
Right.
Like, what are they, I don't know, you know, there were a couple of them that I kind of hit it off with and found to be interesting or whatever, but generally when I would meet them, most time it was just like, yeah, I'll go get a free drink. And what's actually really funny is So I haven't Bumble dated in probably close to a year. It has to be because the last complete and utter psycho was my last straw.
Let's hear about that.
Bumble. Oh yeah, I'll tell you about that in just a minute. But what's really funny is a lot of the guys, I mean, there are at least four guys right now that I'm friends with who I actually met on Bumble and we didn't hit it off romantically, but we liked each other's company. And so I have actually gained several friends from Bumble.
I admire people that can do that. That doesn't work out for me.
Some of them are like nice guys, you know, nice guys in a friend sense. You know, they're probably nightmares of a partner, which is why we didn't hit it off romantically. But the dating part of Bumble did not really work for me. And it was interesting to see trends, like how many of them, literally I would say like 8 out of 10 of them in their first few sentences or first little bit of conversation will tell you that they're recently separated, which of course just means that their wife is at home and thinks that they're working late or some shit, you know? Hello.
Okay. So sorry. We had a little technical difficulty there, folks. The little recorder thing I have usually has a timer going. And it didn't, so I freaked out and, like, pushed a button, like, were we not recording any of this? But we were. So panic.
Okay.
Nothing.
Okay. Well, that's good. Yeah. I was talking about Kevin. I said.
Okay. So let's pick back up where we were.
Yeah. I was mentioning Kevin, who is the last guy that I went on the Bumble date with. And I mentioned that Kevin, really, the name itself is kind of the first red flag. I feel like that name is never going to end well with a Kevin.
Have you had bad experiences with other Kevins?
Well, this is the first, but honestly, it was bad enough that I feel like it should just stand as like a prime example.
Okay, ladies, you heard it. Kevin is a red flag.
Kevin, red flag as fuck. Just
and
immediately,
even Costner. You think if someone got approached by
you
Kevin?
You know, I don't know him personally, but I would venture to say yes.
Okay, we're just putting that out there. Kevin Costner is
yeah,
a
so
red flag.
Kevin.
Too.
Kevin Costner, I mean, what is he dressing up like a wolf or something? Didn't he have like a movie where he did that? Red
he
flag.
Did. He danced with them. But back to the other Kevin.
That's right, Kevin. So I first met Kevin, it was literally like in December of not last year, but the year before that. So what was that? 2018? So long ago. I swiped on him on Bumble. He's very attractive, and he's a defense attorney, so he has, like, a nice job and was a college football player, so he got this nice body, and I was like, hi, and, you know, ignored the fact that his name was Kevin. I didn't know at that point, and swiped.
So you already, like, oh, you didn't know his name, but as soon as you heard Kevin, you thought, ew.
Well, I knew his name, but I didn't know at that time that I hadn't had the experience yet that the name itself should be a red flag.
Okay, so he made you dislike the name. It wasn't a pre. Okay,
for
got
sure,
it.
For sure, never again will I ever. So we matched on Bumble, and we were kind of chatting back and forth, and he had kind of a really funny sense of humor. You know, that's probably also
that's
a red flag. I mean, I'm on the fence with that one. But
yeah, because they're so charming and then they just end up disappointing you.
Exactly. They're so cute and charming and like whatever. And so we kind of had this back and forth going, and we set up a date to meet, and then the day before the date, he texts me and says, hey, I had my appendix burst.
Oh.
So basically that he's in the hospital with a burst appendix. And I was like, okay. And so of course I said, okay, so I guess that means there's no date. And he said, no, really, really, it's really bad. And he's like sending me selfie from his hospital bed, like in the hospital, like, look at me, poor me. And at that point I was like, this is stupid. And so I just stopped responding to him.
Stupid with your I was like, surgery and
right.
Like, I'm
yeah,
sorry,
like,
I'm fixing
really,
to swipe
seriously.
Again. I have my outfit on already.
Yeah, exactly. Like, what am I going to do? Like, wait for you to fix your appendix? Like, I can't even deal. So I was like, this is ridiculous. I stopped talking to him. Well, then, probably, I guess it was like maybe April of last year, I want to say, we matched again on Bumble because I was going through this, like, I'm going to do Bumble power dating, and then I was like, oh, I can't take it anymore. Then I'd delete it, and then I would uploaded on my phone. It was just like a mess.
I've done the same.
Probably the third time that I put it back on my phone, he popped up again. And so I was like, oh, well, this guy, you know, he's still handsome and he still is, you know, lovely. So I swiped and we matched again. And his like first few comments were like, so thanks for leaving me high and dry while I was in the hospital. And I was like, get over yourself. It's like not that big a deal.
And you had never met him when he went to the hospital.
We had not met at that point. We had set up a date, but then the date, he canceled the date because of the appendix bursting.
Which, and I mean, that's inconsiderate on his part.
Super what? Inconsiderate. Like, how dare you let your appendix burst? We have a date. I mean, yeah. I don't know where that
power through.
Got met.
Pussy.
Yeah. Completely tacky. So he says, thanks for leaving me, you know, high and dry. And I'm like, I'm not your mom, you know, so I'm sorry that you had a burst appendix. But anyway, and it was, like, right around the holidays, that's right, when we first started talking. So it was, like, Christmas was coming up, and then his appendix burst, and I was like, I can't manage all this. Like, I haven't met this guy in person, and I've got holiday stuff to think about, and he's got a burst appendix. Like, get out of here.
I also hate it when you start dating someone around the holidays or Valentine's Day or Christmas, and you've been dating for, like, 3 weeks or something, and you're like, do I get you a present?
Right.
Do I...
you know, expectations, nightmares.
That's so rough.
So we rematched, and, you know, he was kind of guilt tripping me and everything. And I was like, listen, it was holiday time. You know, I have my son. We were busy. You were in the hospital, supposedly. It was just too much to manage, you know. But I do think you're still kind of funny. If you'd like to go to dinner or something, we can still go, whatever. So he's like, yeah, we should do that. Let's go to dinner. So we're like back and forth chatting for like a few, it was like a few days, maybe like a week or whatever. And he's being super like coy, like, okay, yeah, let's go on a date. And then I would say, okay, that's great. And then he would say, well, like, what do you want to do for the date? And I would say, well, like, I don't know, dinner maybe? Oh, okay, so you want to go to dinner? Like, okay, well, what else would we do? You want to go to lunch? No, it's fine. You said we could go to dinner. And I'm like, and it was kind of like this, there was this gray space of like, it could be perceived as humor, but also it was like a little overboard, you know? So it was like, I really couldn't tell through chat if he was like being funny or just like being a psycho. And obviously that is also a red flag. He was just generally being a psycho. So he'd be like, you know, you want to go to dinner? And I'd say, yeah, dinner. That sounds, you know, okay, let's go to dinner. Well, where do you want to go to dinner? And I would say, well, you know, I have a lot of places I like, but I don't care, you know, like this is like date number one. So I'm not trying to like make it an issue. You know what I mean? I'm just like, let's just go get dinner, maybe a drink, so I can just bail if you suck. You know, that's basically my perspective. And he's like, okay, well, I'll just let you pick. So I picked the restaurant. It was like kind of this nicer tapas kind of restaurant that I really enjoy. And so I tell him that's where I want to go. And he says, oh, that's the place you want to go to? And I'm like, you know, I can't decide if he's like being humorous and critical or if he really is just like questioning everything to be an ass. And now I know, obviously. But so I'm like, ha, 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 funny, whatever, whatever. You know, let's just go to dinner. So the restaurant is like in this kind of busier part of town and parking is impossible. So, you know, we were meeting for dinner. It's a nicer restaurant. So I had kind of gotten dressed up, total waste of my fucking time. But anyway, kind of gotten dressed up and, you know, I get to the restaurant. He texts me about like 5 minutes before the time we were supposed to meet there saying, I just got here and I'm getting at the table. So I'm like, okay, that's fine. So then I park and I tell him I'm looking for a parking spot. I park, I go in and he's sitting at this kind of little high top table. And, you know, I'm like, oh, it's so nice to finally meet you. And he says, and he looks at his watch and he says, you're late. And I'm like, right, I'm late. Right.
Hi.
Right. You're late. And this is like 3 minutes after the time you were supposed to meet. And we had been texting before the meeting time. And so I'm like, I literally just texted you that I was looking for parking. And he said, yeah, well, you know, I don't know what kind of message, you know, you're trying to send. And still at this point, I'm like, is he trying to get a rat-a-tat? Is he trying to, like, have a back and forth that's, like, funny and it's just not landing correctly or something? Because he's really smart kind of, you know, lawyer guy. So I was like, I wasn't really sure where he was going with it. So
okay, hold on.
Okay, anyway.
How attractive was this man? Because from what I know about you from our mutual friend, like, you don't seem like you take a lot of shit. Like, if he was not super attractive, would you have not spun around?
He was very attractive.
And walked your ass right, like, oh, you know, I'm not, well, just late, now I'm absent.
So, it was multiple things. One is that he, yes, was very, very attractive, just lovely, delicious-looking man. That was the first thing. Probably also a red flag. And the second thing was that I really couldn't tell, like, that it just seemed like he had really unfortunate sense of humor. Like, it wasn't landing with me, and he was like laughing while he would say things. So he was saying like, oh, you're late. But also, like, I would say something like that to a friend, you know, I would say, oh, you're late. Like, if a friend showed up 3 minutes late, like as a joke. So I couldn't ever really tell, like,
but that's with your friend, you know, not someone that, like, when you first go on a date, you're doing, it's kind of a representative of yourself, like you're campaigning at
absolutely.
First and on your best manners and easygoing,
absolutely.
Like you don't just, you know, oh, you're late. Like, that's not, you guys aren't friends.
Right.
courting you.
Right. But also we, you know, we had been talking, we had talked before and then we had talked again. And so I just couldn't tell. I was just like, and also I was hungry at that point. And I was like, you know, like, what the hell? I mean, I'm here. I can sit across the table and look at you for an hour and then get the hell out of here, you know? And so, but I genuinely, the real, like, basic thing is I felt like it was humor that was not landing right. Like, it seemed a little bit off. And it wasn't until, like, the final situation that I was like, right, that wasn't joking, you know? Because sometimes it's kind of hard to tell. Like, they walk that line, you know, of, like, it's a little bit funny, it's a little bit playful, but then they're also seeing how far they can push, you know?
Yep.
So I kind of like, ha, 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 funny, funny, whatever. Anyways, I'm hungry. What are we eating? And so the server comes over and, you know, he said, oh, can we take your order or whatever? And I'm like, oh my gosh, I just got here. I really wanted to look at the drinks or whatever. And can you just come back in like
He's
a minute?
He's like, God damn it. Like, you are already late. Right. Now you're holding up.
Yes. Well, then he goes, oh, are you going to drink? And I'm like, yes, I am. And he said, then you're going to drive home? And I'm like, yeah, I'm an adult. And he's like, oh, well, you know, he's like, I'm a defense attorney. You know, I can't really risk that, you know, if I get pulled over like that. And I'm like, okay, that could be valid. You know, like, if I had a different, more public, particularly related to the law, like, I would be more mindful, maybe, right? So I was like,
was this man, are you calling him Kevin? Was his real name Johnny Cochran? And this was a very public lawyer that everyone would recognize everywhere.
Yes, he is. He is the public lawyer that everyone recognizes. He has like a really, like, commercials on television here. And, you know,
can we use his last name and give him a shout out? Listen, if anyone wants to hire him.
Story, what I really wanted to do was buy some billboards, you know, and put those around the city and say, has attorney Kevin given you chlamydia? Call this number. But I figured he didn't give me chlamydia, but I feel like that would probably be like slander or something. And, you know, so I was like,
well, no, it's just a question. Did attorney Kevin give you chlamydia? It's not a statement. Like, just
right. Exactly. So he says, okay, you're going to drink. You can't, you know, I'm whatever. And I'm not going to drink. And I'm like, that's fine. You know, you do you. I'm here to have a drink. So
I can't stand guys that won't drink either. Like, I have to have a drink on a first date. I have to have a couple because I'm just nervous.
Honestly, of everything, that was really the first, like, major red flag. Like, what's the big deal? Like, if you have...
And non-drinkers are a red flag. Sorry, I'm sorry. I don't mean to... I've had experience with this. And I know if you don't drink, there's a reason, because you have had a problem and you are court ordered not to drink or something like that.
The thing is, he is a drinker. It wasn't that he's not a drinker. He just doesn't drink in public. So it was even more of like a, you know, what's the deal with that? So anyway, so the server comes over.
So he drinks at home alone.
I say, correct. So the server comes over and he says, and I say, I'm going to have this drink or whatever. And the whole time he's kind of like, you know, giving me this look. And I'm like basically suck my dick. I came here with a plan to drink. That's what I'm going to do. Sorry if that's not, you can always leave. Like, that's always an option. And so, of course, he didn't leave. And so the server comes over and I ask him questions. And I happen to actually know the server. And she had been like a friend of mine from a few years back. And I hadn't seen her in a while. And so she was kind of like behind his back, like fanning herself because he's just very hot. And so I was like, I know. So she was kind of like really getting me hyped up. So maybe I was like missing some of the more essential things that were happening. So anyway, so after she leaves and we had ordered food and I forgot about this part. So as we go to order food, we had planned this date for like 3 days. It was a dinner date. I get there. He says, oh my God, you're drinking. Shame, whatever. And then when we go to order food, he says, oh, here's the thing. I had a good friend come in town today and we just went to dinner. And I said, well, why did you do that? We were coming here to eat dinner. He said, well, you know, it was a surprise visit. I hadn't seen him in a while, and I didn't want to leave him hanging or whatever. And I mean, anyways, I could have canceled the date, but I didn't cancel it. I'm here, so I'm just not going to eat, and you can eat or whatever. And
that
I'm like,
that sounds very, or you could have met him somewhere and not, like, he could have eaten, you could have sipped, you couldn't have had a drink, you could have had a water, I guess, or a hot cocoa, whatever you drink.
So that was really bizarre.
He must have been, like, was part of this intriguing you a little bit? Like, this, like,
it
him
was
being
very intriguing. But see, also, it's very much like that, which I do think this is really seriously a red flag. It's that walking the line. So it's like, of course, if you're just any kind of an understanding person and someone says they had a surprise visit from a really old friend and whatever, you know, part of me was like, well, couldn't you tell your friend that you had a date? The friend kind of busted up on your life. But also, I could see, to some extent, if a person who I hadn't seen in a long time wanted to eat, I would eat. But I would also be mindful of the fact that I had a date. So I was. It's very much that line of, like, same with the humor. Like, I could see that you are a kind of public person and you don't want people to see you drinking, but really it's just one drink. You know. So
or it could,
like,
also be that you're cheap and don't want to buy dinner and drinks.
Yeah, it could also be that. Which is why I ran up the tab.
Eat enough for both of us? No big deal. More for
exactly.
me.
Exactly. Literally, I can do this for two all day long. So I ordered like a whole pizza. And so the server brings the food and, you know, I'm literally sitting at the table drinking a drink and eating a whole pizza alone. He's just sitting across the table watching me. And I'm like,
my God.
Fuck you, basically. I came for this date, which I thought involved food and alcohol, and I plan to at least get that. Also, you're still hot, so I'm pretty good just sitting here talking to you. And so then as I'm in the middle of, like, eating this pizza, which I'm kind of listening to him talk, the pizza was delicious. I was a little bit involved in the pizza, so I wasn't, like, super attentive. And then he says all of a sudden, do you like a dominating man?
Oh, God.
And I... Right, and I actually almost spit the pizza out because I was like, I thought it was a joke, and I said, no, I really like a weak man. Those are generally the ones I look for. Like, I like the weak ones. Who? What kind of question is that? That's such a fucking weird question. And
no, I like a complete shell of a man. I like him crying, weeping,
can't wait for that.
Terrified.
Get out of here. Right. And clowns. That's who I really like. So he's like, do you like a dominating man? And I'm like, okay. Like, yes. I mean, how do you even answer that question? We're on date number one. You aren't eating or drinking, and you're asking me this bizarro question.
Which is an opening to sex.
Very quickly. Is that what it is? Yeah, right. So, and I didn't even know at that point. I mean, I was like literally elbow deep in pizza. So,
were you turned on elbow deep in your pizza?
By the pizza? Yes.
By the man, by also him. Was it a double turn on?
Well, when he said, you like a dominating man, I did kind of perk up a little bit, like, hi. Actually,
let me wipe the sauce off my chin and answer you.
Yeah, give me a minute. let me just perk up a little bit. You know, and I thought we were in, like, I have a very dry kind of sarcastic sense of humor, so, like, people who know me well and who talk to me frequently, like, we have conversations like that, and it's not like real. And so I think in my brain I'm also like, oh, I like this little fun humor game, let's do that. You know, so I'm like kind of playing along with it. And he was like not joking. And so he's like, do you like a dominating man? And I'm like, yeah, I know, I like the weak ones, those are the ones, I love them, they're my favorite. And as I'm talking to him and like mouthful of pizza spewing my opinions about weak men, the server comes up to the table and kind of like wants to ask if we need anything. And so he says to the server, what do you need? And then he kind of puts his hands up and like motions to me to like stop talking, because I was really like going on. And then I was like, oh shit, that was, you know, I'm like, at this point on the second drink, I've eaten like half a pizza. And the server, of course, comes up. So I'm like, oh yeah, I guess, you know, I'm should have stopped talking when the server got here or whatever. So he kind of puts his hand up and he said, no, we're good. And he goes away. And the server leaves. And
he's reprimanded you again for manners, lateness.
Then he goes, I like how you snapped into order when I did that. And I said, what? He said, you really got in line quick. And I'm like, with the server?
Is he trying to, like 50 Shades of Grey you? Like, that's...
Listen, at this point, I'm like, where do you live? Let's just go to your house. I like. You can
so
stop
you
talking.
Liked it. You liked it.
Right. I'm like.
You got me. I want to see what happens.
Right. You know, it's like, listen, Mr. Lawyer Man, I'm guilty. Guilty. Found guilty. Punish me. Right. So I'm just like, ha ha, giggle, giggle, giggle. Anyways, I'm done with this pizza. Let's go. And so he's like, how about we go to my house? And I'm like, okay, that's fine. Where do you live? Is it close? Is it whatever? He's like,
is
oh,
this part
he's
of
like,
this
I live
social
out in basically
experiment.
Suburbia, right? What'd you say?
Is this part of, like, you said you were doing, like, with the Bumble stuff, like, you got into, like, doing kind of, it was almost like a social experiment and stuff. Like, is this, like, you do extensive research.
You know, I like to be prepared. But yeah. But this will show you that you can't be prepared, actually. So, so he says, let's go to my house. And I'm like, where's your house? Like, as if I'm going to murder him if I have to, which is ridiculous. Mm-hmm. And he's like, oh, I've got this big house with these acres, or and I'm like, let's go. I'd love to see your large house.
I would love
house.
To go
like,
to a dominating right. man's house in the woods and right. fall in line.
Right. So we go to his house, which was truly like massive and large, and he had all this land. I mean, it was just like this insane house. It was like huge, and I of course was acting completely unimpressed. Like, why is your kitchen so like sterile? I told him his kitchen looks sterile. I was like, your kitchen, there's nothing. There's nothing like lovable about your kitchen. And he was like, why are you criticizing my house? And I was like, did you expect me to love it? See, I thought that's the game we were playing. So
I thought we were criticizing each other. I thought that was our thing.
Right. I thought that's how this worked. But turns out he's just a psycho. And I was probably, I mean, our mutual friend, she and I have had multiple conversations about how I'm pretty much lucky I didn't get murdered, because the whole time that I was thinking, oh, we're playing the, you know, false criticism game, he was being serious and probably being constantly enraged by me, just, like, taunting him.
Mm-hmm.
So
I've made, like, that mistake with guys before, too, because
so
I think it's, like, a banter, like a witty banter type thing. And then yes. It's like, oh, no, you're upset. Like,
correct. You have to be careful. You have to be careful. So he's like, whatever, you know, I didn't bring you here to criticize my house. And I was like, oh, okay, I wasn't criticizing. Well,
that's
my kind
of the
point.
Vibe,
like,
we've been having.
Right. Oh, so he's like, let's just go. He's like, this foyer area. And the
maybe
foyer area.
Like that better.
The thing is, I like to observe my surroundings. And so I did have a lot of questions about the house. Like, for example, the foyer area was like this kind of like a Library of Congress situation, where it was like a wooden parquet floor with like a rotunda or something up there.
I don't
there was
know
like
what a
about
is.
A round balcony.
I don't think
above
our listeners do.
Floor.
What is a rotunda?
It's basically like a second floor balcony, but it's like a circle.
Okay.
And it's like a domed ceiling, right? So
and it
so,
sounds like a fancy house that you have just
yeah,
told him is
super,
like, oh,
super
I didn't realize
house.
That we were I didn't realize you were struggling. That's why you didn't eat at dinner.
Yeah, right, exactly. Correct. So
makes sense now.
The thing about this rotunda was, it's like there's a balcony and there's all these rooms and there are no stairs because there were like wings in the house and shit. And so I now have had two drinks and I'm like, where are the stairs to your rotunda? And he's like, what are you talking about? And I'm like, there are bedrooms up there. So whoever you're keeping in the bedrooms, they can't get out because there's no stairs. And, like, literally, I'm just, like, balls to the wall at this point. So so he's like, okay, ha, ha, ha. I mean, I guess he couldn't decide if I was joking. I thought it was a fun little game. So we go into the little foyer, and he starts to pour a drink. And so I'm like, oh, so you drink at home? And he's like, yeah, well, it's my house. I can do whatever I want here. And I'm like, okay. Well, anyways, am I gonna get a drink, or, like, what's the plan? Like,
have you decided I've had too much?
Like, yeah, I did not, like, drive to your mansion to not get a drink. So we sit there, and we're in the little foyer area, and we're having a drink and talking, and he's asking me all these, like, very, like, deep questions, like, where do you see yourself in 7 years or something? And I was like, hold on a second. Just hold on 1 second. Are you vetting me? Because I feel, is this your vetting room? Are we in the vetting room? And he was like, you're really something. And I'm like, thank you very much.
And again, so, thinking it's witty banter still at this point, probably, right?
I'm thinking it's like, you know, hilarious. So,
and seven is an odd number. Like, a 7-year plan, you hear 5 years, 10 years.
Yeah, I don't even know. And what question is that? Like, are you trying to?
I know what I'm going to be doing in like, 7 minutes.
Sorry, sir. Sorry, sir. So anyway,
I'm not sure if we're going to be fucking or fighting in 7 minutes. I don't know what I'm going to be doing in 7 years.
That's basically where I was. Like, you know, and I'm like doing crazy shit, like saying there's, I have gun in my car. Like, I don't. Okay. But I'm saying, like, hold on a second. Don't get too out of control. I'll just get my gun. Ha ha ha. I did not have a gun. And so then he's like, yeah, do you want to go see my movie theater? And I'm like, oh, are we leaving? Did I pass the vetting process? Because we're leaving the vetting room. Like, I'm still joking about the room. And he's like, yeah, ha ha, whatever. No, I just have, you know, this big theater room and we can go and watch a movie or something. And I'm like, that sounds great. So we go into his massive bedroom and he like literally opens the door to a closet and says, it's down there. And it's like horror movie basement stairs. And I started laughing, like hysterically, like, oh, okay. You want me to go down to your basement for your movie theater? I'm confused. And he's like, okay, funny story. That's cute. It's really, there's a movie theater down there. And so I'm like, hold that thought. I'm going to drop a pin to some of my friends so they know where my location is. And then we can go down to the movie theater. And so anyways, it actually wasn't.
It's not a
theater.
Hard no in the movie theater. I'm just going to let someone know where I am. Yeah. So if they can get here in 10 minutes, if I'm getting murdered, someone like might possibly be able
I'm
to get here in 10 minutes.
I'm kind of interested. Yeah. So we go down to the movie theater. It was a movie theater. We watched a movie. We watched Breaking Bad. And so I was a delight. He loved it. And then I left. And then, of course, he's still texting me. So he's like, you know, I want to see you. So over the next, like.
So did you guys, like, make out? Did anything happen?
He kind of tried to kiss me a little bit, and then I kind of, like, pushed him because I wasn't sure what was going on. He was like, did you just push me? And I was like, I think I did. Yeah, I did. It was a reaction, okay? It wasn't, like, I meant for it to happen. It just happened.
You just repulsed me, and I pushed you away.
Right. He just kind of, like, you know, kissed me. And so we kind of kissed and, you know, like, in the movie theater room, basement, kill room, whatever
like
the hell it
kissing
is.
Kissing with tongue, any groping, any, you know, over the bra, under the shirt. What
no,
base?
It was no, like, make-out session. Okay. There was no, like, make-out session. It was just, like, a kiss, like, a whatever. And then, but then he was, like, really texting me a lot after that. Of course, duh. And so then the next time, he's like, hey, why don't you come out tonight and, you know, watch whatever with me? And so I'm like, yeah, that sounds fine. Went out to his house. Of course, I mean, I was like driving out to his house with music loud and the windows down. Like, I just caught me a man. Like, he seemed a little crazy, but you know what? He's a lawyer. Everybody knows who he is. He's loaded. He's got a mansion. Like, it's fine. I'm fine. And
it's gonna be great.
So go to the house, and this is actually then that night. It was on. It was like crazy, and you know he was. We was really something. Like, he was screaming his own name during sex.
Hold on. How did it get, like, you go into the house, and then did you guys just start getting it on immediately? There was no movie?
I went into the house, and he, like, fixed me a drink, and then he's like, yeah, let's go. You know, he had, like, a cigar or something, and he's like, let's smoke, because he had this big desk, so we, like, smoked a cigar. I mean, I don't smoke cigars, but I pretended that day. And then he was like, let's go up to some other movie room. He's got like 5 movie rooms. So we go up to this movie room and we were watching Breaking Bad. And that's kind of like when things started, whatever. It was like but it was like weird. It was kind of weird how it started, because it was like, it wasn't like this like passionate, all of a sudden we had this passionate interaction. It was like, it was almost like he was treating me like a wife. Like, he kind of laid his head over on my lap and then was asking me to rub his back and everything. And I was like, this is like way too like intimate for, I mean, I know we're talking about sex, like that's intimate, mm-hmm. but there was like this emotional element that he was trying to like infuse into the situation. When I was seriously like, just, can you just pound me? Like, why are we making small talk?
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, so it kind of happened like that. And then it was just like, you know, once it was like going, you know, and he was like saying crazy stuff. Like he was screaming his own name. He was like,
well, let's get back to that. So you guys are you're fucking, and
correct.
He yelled out, did he just yell out Kevin, or was he like, oh my God, Kevin, or Kevin,
no,
you're a champ?
He said, Kevin is the best.
Hold on, Felicia. Like, you need to repeat. So he said sex, Kevin is the best.
Yeah.
And at what volume? Like, can you do an imitation? Can you do an imitation?
Like he's pounding and he's really getting into it. And then he's like, oh, Kevin is the best. Like that.
What did you say?
My head was
no. Felicia is the best. Felicia is the best.
And so I was just like, kind of giggling to myself, like, actually, you're not. I definitely had better, but I mean, at that point, what are you gonna do? Like, that was his gig, I guess, you know. And oh, and he was also saying things like, you know, obviously he like is a dirty talker. He likes to do dirty talking, but like his dirty talking consisted of like whispering kind of loudly in my ear, like, are you going to let me fuck you before I have to go to work? Like, okay.
Well, yeah, sure. We're fucking now and you're not at work yet. So yeah.
Right. That's great. I love that thought. Like, whatever, you know, but it was like not, it was like very contextual to like his particular life. So there was like a lot of, you know, he's a lawyer and he obviously was very proud of that. And like, you know,
he sounds like the guy in American Psycho.
You know what? I have not thought about that, but it was very similar, actually, now that you say that. That
never
Christian Bale character, it was...
Ever yes. Heard someone scream, like, Kevin is the best.
Yes.
It was Kevin, very if much you like hear that, this, even, I would love to hear your side of this. And I mean, why I mean, that turned you on to compliment yourself in bed.
Oh, listen, I haven't even told you the best part yet. I mean, that was like, you know... Small
That's
potatoes.
Pretty good. Did he compliment you at all, or was he just giving himself?
Oh,
all
no,
the credit?
No. Yeah, he was just all the credit.
Okay.
So, but you know, I mean, it was sex, and it was whatever. I mean, it wasn't like the best
was
by any
Kevin
stretch of the imagination.
The best?
No, Kevin was not the best. He was not. But then it was like he would do weird things, like he after everything was finished, like he got up really quickly, and he was like, you know, I'm not just going to be your bull, you know, like, you know what a bull is?
Like your stud bull to.
Yeah, correct. Yeah. And I'm
no
like.
No one said anything about that, Kevin. Did you?
Literally, I didn't even like suggest it. Like, I don't know why you're. And also, like, if you were going to be a bull, you should have a bigger dick. Like, but also that separate, you know.
I'm not just going to be your pleasure right. Bull. Like, don't get any ideas. Like, I'm not just Kevin, the
wondering.
Best sex of your life.
Yeah, exactly.
There's
so
more to me.
Like, okay, thanks for telling me. You know, whatever.
Is that what you said?
No, I just kind of laughed. Like, I mean, I was still like post-coital. You know, I was like laying there in a daze, and he's still like walking around talking to himself and talking about, I'm just not going to be your bull. And I'm like, okay.
Thanks for letting me down easy, Kevin.
Right. Thank you for that. So I leave, and then he's still, you know, texting me and everything. And of course I'm like, you know, Kevin was not the best, but Kevin is something. So, you know,
after
I'll
all that, you didn't
mansion.
Consider was spending the night an option, or you didn't want to do that, or.
I didn't want to do that. I don't even know. Honestly, I can't really even think back that far. I was just like, anyways, that was great. Bye. Like that was pretty much where I was with it. I mean, I was pretty definitely like, wow, you know, I think it was like the character of him, like he has the law degree, and then like he's known and he's got this big house and, you know, drives these cars, but he also kind of treated me like an idiot. Like, I own a business and I know a lot about financial things. Mm-hmm. And at one point during like a conversation, he's telling me about how he's going to buy this new car, and but he's already got like two cars, and they're really nice cars. And so I'm like, okay, well, why are you, you know, why do you want this car? He's like, oh, I just want this like a brand new Land Rover or whatever. It's like this $70,000 vehicle or something. And he's like, yeah, I'm going to go to the city a little further away. I'm going to have to drive over there to get it. And I'm like, okay, that's cool. And so he goes, you know, for the day to the city. And then he's texting me later that day, and he's like, you know, you want to come over later? I'm like, oh, did you get the car? And he's like, no, I couldn't get the car because I have too much negative equity. And it's like, he said it in a way as if like, I would not understand what that meant. And it was like, you know what? Like, he literally said it like I was like, I heard, we hear the word equity and I would get stars in my eyes. Like, oh my God, that's a big word about money. Like, no, I know what negative equity is. It means I have more money than you do. So sorry about your big house with the rotunda and possibly people stored in the upstairs bedroom. But, so it was just like, he just had this like kind of like mentality that he was above everything, you know? So anyways, he's like, yeah, do you want to come over later? And I was working that whole weekend. And so I was like, you know, I'll come over, but I literally worked until like 5:30. And he's like, okay, well, instead of going out, and I'm still at the point where I think this is like a humor kind of situation. Whenever he's acting the fool, I'm like, ha ha ha, funny, funny. It hasn't really hit me yet. So he said,
so was this like something you were talking to your friends about and stuff? Were you telling them these little details? And did anyone say, like, because, you know, I know at least for myself, like, it's a lot easier for me to look at someone's situation and be like, oh, he said Kevin was the best during sex. Do you think that might have?
Oh, yeah, no, I wasn't telling anybody about that. But also, this was like day five of us hanging out. Like, this wasn't like an extensive situation. Like, the day that he was like, let's hang out after work, that was literally like maybe the fifth day after we had started like that first date. So he's like, yeah, well, since you're working, and he was at the golf course all day or whatever, he's like, let's just cook something at the house or whatever. And I'm like, that sounds great. Well, driving from my business to his house, you know, there's grocery store. So I was like, I'll just go by the grocery store and pick something up and then come to your house and then we can cook or whatever. So I get to his house and he's like, what do you need to cook? And I'm like, what are you talking about? Like, I just bought the food and like brought it with me. Like, I thought we were cooking. He's like, well, you said you would cook. And I'm like, I said I would cook? Like, what are you talking about? And so also I should mention that Kevin is African-American. I am white. And I'm saying that because he started making these like, so like he says, what are you cooking? And I'm like, you know, I just got like some shrimp or whatever. He's like, are you going to season it? And I'm like, I mean, I'm going to cook it. And he's like, well, you know, I know how white people cook. And I'm like,
racist.
Wow. Well, how's that? That's just, you know. So then after the back and forth of like, he thought that I never said I was going to cook. I thought this was like a joint thing. But then he's treating me like, you know, I'm the one cooking. And so I'm like, okay, you know what? It's just too much time talking about it. So just where's the fucking knives? And so then he's like, oh, are you asking where the knives are because I'm black? And I'm like,
what?
I don't, it's like, now, right. I'm like, now the humor isn't really funny anymore. It's like, now I don't understand
that the reference.
Humor. Right. Because I was asking like where the knives are. I guess he was saying like, oh, do you think I have a weapon in the house because I'm black kind of thing?
No, we're cooking.
And I was like, right. I was like, literally, I'm cooking. Like, that's why I'm asking about a knife. Like, what are you talking about? And so he's like, yeah, yeah, whatever. So he gives me the knife. So it's like, as that's going on, I have this like, I had been at work all that day, and I work in the fitness industry. And so I have this like pair of pants that kind of has these slits down the side of the leg. They're almost like genie pants. And so they're really cool and beautiful, but you have to wear like boy shorts under them, or else you lift up a leg and like your whole vagina is out. So, but, and they're also kind of cumbersome because the sides are open, but they're a little bit warmer than shorts. So when I got to his house, I had taken the pants off so that I could like move easier, you know, because I had just the boy shorts on. And so like, while I'm starting to cut vegetables, he turns on this speaker with like this crazy trap music on it and just like starts slapping my ass and like saying to me, oh, I'm fucking you tonight without a condom. And I'm like, oh. Okay. Yeah, oh, no, you're going to let me. And I'm like, okay, all right. I mean, like, we haven't even had that conversation
I'm
yet.
I'm not
like,
falling in line for this.
Correct. So I'm just kind of like, all right, whatever. And so that kind of passes. The music is still playing. And as the music is playing, he's kind of, like, undressing. And so I'm just thinking he's getting more comfortable. I'm, like, talking. And then I ask him something. I don't even know what it was, but I asked him something that, like, required a response. Or, like, where a spice was that I was looking for. And I don't hear a response. And I look around, and he's gone. And so I'm like, you know, he's got this huge fucking house. So I'm like, in the kitchen, I'm actively cooking dinner, and he has disappeared. And I'm like, what
the fuck
happened?
And he could be in one
of
a million different rooms that you're unable to access.
Right, and the speaker's going, like, super loud, right? Like, boom, 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 speaker.
What was the song?
And I'm like, oh, God, it was like, I don't even know the artist. It was like trap music, you know, like,
gotcha.
Loud, lots of bass, like, ratchet music. And so I'm like, did he leave? Like, where did he go? And his kitchen's very big. And so I'm like, you know what? At this point, I've, like, had a drink. I'm in the middle of cooking. I did not buy all this fucking food, did not eat it. So I'm just going to go through your fucking cabinets and find some spice. And I'm going to cook it, and I'll sit and eat it by myself if I have to. And so I get the spice or whatever. And then he comes out. Oh, he had gone and taken a shower. So, like, at some point in the conversation, he just decided to leave the kitchen and go
get
in the shower.
Say, hey, I'm going to freshen up or anything. He just...
No, said nothing. Just disappeared. Straight up in the middle of the conversation.
Oh, my God.
So as I'm, like... Right. So as I'm, like, getting the spices together and everything, and I'm cooking, and I see him kind of, like, emerge from this room with a towel around his waist, and I'm like, did you just shower? And he was like, yeah, is that a problem? And I was like... I'm like, well, you didn't say that you were going anywhere? Or when he's like, why are you criticizing me in my own house? And I'm like, well... sir, like, that's not really what I was doing. I just thought it was a little bizarre that I was sitting here cooking and you, like, would just disappear, you know. And, like, anyway, you know what,
it's
fine.
My, like,
it's just,
third
whatever.
Time to be over here. I don't live here. And
correct, right. And so then he just walks into, he's in his towel, and he's like, what, are you criticizing me in my own house? And I'm like, okay. And he literally,
he's
just
had enough
right
of your
kitchen.
Shit at this point.
Yes. He literally walks right through the kitchen into the living room and turns on the television. And so he sits in another room watching television in his towel. And at this point, I'm like, this motherfucker. And so I walk into the living room with, like, a, you know, wooden spoon covered in tomato sauce on my, you know, holding it. And I'm like, what is happening right now? And he says, you're just way nicer in text message. And I'm like, okay. Well, anyways, I'm going to eat, and then I'm going to go, because, like, I cook, you know, and I brought the food, so you're welcome. And anyways, I'm sitting down to eat. So I...
Looking back, do you think that maybe this was a red flag and you should have just left and gotten a to-go burger on the way home?
You know, that's a really interesting question, because when you're in, it's hard to say when you're in a situation
like
that.
It is. Like, that's what I'm saying. It's like, it's very easy to hear a situation and be like, oh, that's... I mean, because that's weird for him to just shift his mood like that.
Yeah, and I think, like, one of the things, like, one of the conversations that I had with friends afterwards was, like, it was just such an unbelievable situation that's, like, my brain, like, actually wasn't, like, fully processing.
Yeah.
Like, oh, shit, he's serious. Like, it just was so outlandish. It was so ridiculous. Like, who does that? This is, like, date number three. Like, okay, sure, we've banged, but, like, it hasn't been a long-term relationship, and you're just bailing in the middle of a conversation, and then you're going to walk into it, and you're saying you're better. Like, what is that? So I'm like, you know what? I'm just going to eat and go. Like, at this point, I just think he's being an asshole, and I paid for the food, so I'm fucking eating it. So I go and sit down at the table, which is, like, kind of off.
Were you hoping to salvage the evening at this point and have some more, like, decent sex, or were you just, like, confused?
No, I literally was like, I'm just gonna eat this food and leave. Like, the food's cooked at this point. And you know, it was like, I bought, like, shrimp, because I was gonna make, like, a shrimp pasta or something. I bought, like, shrimp and fresh pasta. Like, it was not cheap ingredients. and it was like from a Whole Foods or whatever. And as I'm like peeling the shrimp into, you know, the trash can to get it ready to cook, he's like, those are really small. Like there weren't any bigger ones there.
Oh,
and I'm
my
like,
God.
What are you doing, man? So anyways, I sit down at the table and he's like, were you going to tell me that, that we were eating? And I'm like, no, you know, I wasn't.
Like you didn't tell me you were showering.
Right. Like, I just sat down to eat. I'd like to eat this food that I paid for and brought to your house. I'm like, I was like, you know, I worked all day today. Like, it was the day before Father's Day. That's right. It was the day before Father's Day. And, you know, he's got two young children. And so I was like, you know, I've worked all day today. After working, I said that I would pick up food thinking that we would be cooking it together. Then I get here and you expect me to be cooking it. You disappear. Like, I'm not waiting for you to eat, right?
Mm-hmm.
So he's like, okay, you know what? You're right. I had a rough weekend, whatever. So he gets a plate of food and he sits down at the table with me. And so then we just start talking. It's like he just snaps into this, like, regular person mode. And we're having, like, conversation. He's super smart. So we're having this kind of engaging conversation. And, you know, when you're having an engaging conversation with somebody, like, there's a lot of mutual interruption. So, like, they're saying something and you're like, I know. Or you're making some sort of exclamation or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's what was happening. He was talking about something and I was kind of going, yeah, you know. And all of a sudden he slams his hands down the table and says, why the fuck do you keep interrupting me? And
I'm like, my God.
Yeah. I'm like, whoa. I'm like, at this point, still laughing because I'm like, what is happening? It was so surreal.
But at that point, were you a little scared?
Not at this point. No, at this point, I was like, okay.
But he gets up to the table,
he snatches my plate and snatches his plate and starts throwing dishes around his kitchen.
Oh.
And the whole time that he's throwing, he's slamming, kind of, he's taking the pot off of the stove and throwing the pot across the kitchen. And he's saying, as he's doing that, he's saying,
were the dishes breaking? Was, like, food being slung all over the kitchen?
No dishes broke, but it was, like, close. It was, like, really close. There was definitely food flying. Like, he was slamming cabinet doors and dropping things into the sink and everything. It was, like, crazy. And the whole time he's doing that, he's saying, you know, tomorrow's Father's Day. You know, I don't have to spend my weekend with you. I could have done a million things today. I could just celebrate me. And I took that time. I decided to spend it with you. And then you're just over here. You just talk. You never stop talking. You're talk. I'm like, oh, okay. And it was like at that point that I was like, okay, this is not fun anymore. This isn't funny. This is no humor. So as I'm talking, as he's still screaming and throwing things around, I kind of get up from the table and I start to get my pants. Because I'd taken my pants off, you know, the ones I was telling you about.
Mm-hmm.
And I start to put them back on and he slams his hands down on the counter in the kitchen. And he says, who said you could get dressed? And I'm like,
oh my God.
Right. So I'm like, this is literally like five days into knowing him, right? So I'm like, well, the thing is, I don't need to wait for you to tell me to get dressed. So I'm getting dressed and I'm leaving. I'm going. And so
at this point, are you scared?
Not
I would be scared.
Well, you know, I've done like a lot of years of self-defense training. Like I've trained jujitsu and stuff. And so he was very attractive and very muscular, but he was very short. Like I know that that's probably false confidence, but I felt pretty solid that like he doesn't have any like skill unless he like knifed me or something. But his house was big. We were like far apart. So I was like, whatever, I'm just going to leave. And so from the kitchen out to like the garage is like this big corridor, like almost like a hallway airway. I don't know what the fuck it's called. So I just get my pants on and I turn to walk through the corridor. And so he kind of like runs up behind me and gets in front of me. And he's like, you know, okay. You know, like, okay, I caught it. It was a little bit whatever. And, you know, I'm like, yeah, I'm leaving. Okay. And he's like, do you want to, okay, well, what about this? Do you want to go to a shooting range? And I'm like,
that sounds great right now. Yeah.
Oh, right. And I said, why are you asking me that? And he's like, what? I like to shoot. And I'm like, and then I think it occurred to me that I had like been making all the jokes about the guns in my car. And maybe he was having like some thoughts about, you know, him being afraid. And so I was like, I'm not interested in that. And I'm not texting you anymore. We're not talking. Like, this is, we're done. Mm-hmm. So I walk out to my car, and as I'm getting into my car to like drive off, he comes, I had like one of those reusable grocery bags from Whole Foods, and I had brought the groceries in it. At that point, I was like, I'm just leaving it. Like, keep everything. I don't care anymore. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm out of here with my life. And so I'm in the car. I've turned a U-turn in his driveway, and I'm getting ready to drive out of the driveway. And he comes running out of the house with the Whole Foods bag, and he, like, throws it at the car and says, you forgot your bag. What are you going to do, hit me with the car? And I was like, like, literally, my car is basically in park right now. Like, what are you talking about?
This is so bizarre. I wonder if other women in the area have dated him. I would be interested to know that.
He's a complete psycho. But so here's the thing, Lily. Here's the real kicker to this whole story. So I leave. I'm like, I'm done with you. We're not, you know, going to talk again. And then I just, he doesn't contact me again until about a month and a half later. So he starts randomly texting me. Hey, just want to see how you're doing. And I'm like, is this real life? And so I'm like, yeah, I guess I forgot to block your number because these texts are still coming through. But, you know, anyways, I'm not interested in meeting up with you again. He's like, oh, well, see, the real thing, the real reason that I got in touch with you is because I needed to tell you something. And I'm like, what's that, Kevin? And he's like, there's like a, we have a problem. And I'm like, what's the problem?
We have a lot of problems.
A lot. And he said, you know, ever, like, we literally, I think total, we maybe had sex 2 or 3 times. I don't even know if it was 3, honestly. And, you know, and the whole time he was, Kevin's the best. I'm going to fuck you before I go to work. Like, this nonsense that had nothing to do with me, right? And so he says, yeah, well, we've got this problem, you know, ever since the first time, which really would be one of the 2 times. Ever since the first time that, you know, we were together, like, I've noticed something, and I don't know if you're aware of it, and I just wanted to bring it to your attention, you know. And I'm like, okay, what's that? And he's like, your vagina really smells bad.
Kevin.
That was what he said. And
we need to warn women about this man. This man is going to end up chopping a woman up into little pieces.
So I, like, literally. So I, when I first saw this, I, like, laughed. There have been men who have been like, hi, can we figure out what your vagina smells like so I can put it in a jar and wear his cologne? Like,
yeah,
they want to live there. Okay. And so I never have had anyone say anything remotely like that to me. And when he said it, I kind of like laughed. Like, I don't know. Obviously, he was trying to be insulting. But mm-hmm. I got the message and I was like, what is this? And never have I ever been told something so ridiculous. And not to mention that, like, okay, so it smelled really bad. But the last conversation that we had before I ran out of your house is how you were going to fuck me without a condom. And that was going to happen to a stinky vagina. No,
because you hated it so much.
Right. It was so terrible. You couldn't be around it. That's why you wanted to hit it raw. Nope. Sorry. So he's like, yeah, you know, it's a problem. So, and then I thought, oh God, is he trying to subtly tell me that he gave me an STD and he's trying to pretend it's pre-existing, you know, or something? Like, oh, well, it was there from the first time that we got together. Like, you're the one with whatever. And I am very, very serious about my health. So, like, when I go for my annual every year, I get tested, STD tested. And generally, this was a kind of fluke event because generally when I start to develop, like, a relationship with a guy, I want them to get tested before we sleep together. Like, I literally will be like, anyways, if you want this pussy, you got to get a test. And most of them are like, that sounds great. I'll comply. And I always have my results, like, ready because I tell people that. And so when I thought that, I thought, okay. And I literally had just been to my gynecologist like a few months before that. And so I just sent him a screenshot like, well, I'm healthy. So this is what happened a few months before we got together, which was a sexless few months for me. So, you know, if anything crops up, I know who to blame, basically. Of course, nothing cropped up, but because it wasn't what it was about. It was about the insult of the whole situation, you know. And then I have a very unique relationship with my gynecologist, which is that he's lovely and adorable, and we flirt a lot. And so he's been my gynecologist for, like, 12 years. Like, literally, when I go in there, and he'll be, like, he has, like, the speculum, and I'll be, like, hi, this is what I need you to do today. When you put the speculum in, can you put it in nice and slow, and then pull it out nice and slow, and then put it in a little bit slower, and then out, and then maybe in again, just a couple times. You know, like, just get me ready for this. You know, and mm-hmm. he's like, oh, you're funny. And the nurses are, like, scandalized. And so why I had an appointment scheduled, like, shortly after this whole fiasco with this guy. And so I went in there and I said, let's just call him Dr. Ron. I said, Dr. Ron, I have a question. I was told that I have a stinky vagina, and I was getting my IUD replaced, actually. And I said, so when you go down there, I need you to just lean in just a little bit, and I just need you to give me a report. And so he goes in there. He does everything. He takes off the IUD he replaced and everything, and he comes out, you know, after the little surgery. It was like a day thing. And mm-hmm. he puts his hand on my shoulder, and he says, well, I can verify that he's just an asshole. And I was like, oh, my God. I said, where did you put the old IUD? And he said, it's in the trash can. I said, great. Can you fish it out? And I would like to mail it to him with a bomb. And he said, that sounds like a crime. And I was like, listen, Dr. Ron, we don't have to agree that we had this conversation. You just fished the IUD out. Let me handle the mailing. And he's like, okay. He's like, but no, you're fine. Everything, you know, he was just being a dick. And I was like, God damn it. So that's probably the biggest red flag story. Is that not bizarre?
That is one of the most bizarre stories I've ever heard. Has he tried to reach out to you since then?
Actually, he has. So I asked for the whole stinky vagina fiasco. I blocked him, you know, on my phone. And then he started trying to contact me through my business pages on social media. And I had to block him, like, literally.
Because
I mean,
stinky vagina some more.
Right. Yeah, it was so smelly. It was terrible. He couldn't handle it. And so, like he sent me, we had been watching Breaking Bad in his, like, movie theater room. And I love Breaking Bad. He had never seen it. And so he was like, yeah, let's watch it. We maybe watched, like, 4 episodes. And so he started sending messages to my business page saying, sad face, like, literally a sad face emoji. Sad face emoji, you left me hanging with Breaking Bad. I can't believe that you left me right on episode 4. Bitch, bye. I literally was like,
what do you mean you can't believe?
Block.
What part can you not believe that I would not want to come back?
How is that not ridiculous? So, I blocked him on all of my business pages. I blocked him, and I have not heard from him since. But he did still try to get it.
Well, that's
so
a pretty
that,
good.
That's when I quit Bumble. That was the last straw for me. Was the Kevin story.
I think that's one of the craziest stories I have ever heard. And I
it's
definitely
bizarre, isn't it?
Enjoyed that. And I would like to, I don't know. I would like to post up a picture of lawyer Kevin. I guarantee you, like, that you are not the first woman that this has happened to.
No,
like,
I don't think so at all. And, like, after, you know, it was one of those things that's like, even when you hear the story, it's just so outlandish that even in real time, like, you were saying, oh, was I scared? It was so unreal. It was like, no one behaves that way. I've never mm-hmm. seen a person, like, essentially someone I don't even really know. Like, we had only really talked in person for a week at that point. Like, what the hell are you doing after 3 months? Like, what?
Right. And he's telling you how to talk. And so he took a shower and got out of, something happened in that shower. He got mad as hell in that shower. And
well, I think it's like I was telling you, I think, like, I thought there was a witty back and forth going on, and that he was being dead serious. Like, I was seriously talking to one of my guy friends about this, and he was like, you're so lucky you didn't get murdered, because he's like, what my friend did is he said, here, let me just narrate to you what was going on in Kevin's mind while you were making all of your witty banter that you thought was so hilarious, you know, and I hadn't really framed it that way in my mind. Like, when I'm saying, oh my God, your kitchen's so sterile, like, there's nothing lovable in here. I'm thinking, ha ha ha, funny joke. He's thinking, I'm going to fucking kill this bitch.
I've been told that too, like about my sense of humor, that it's so dry that it tends to like come off as like, I don't know. And then it's like, okay, well, I guess I have to dumb my sense. Like, I think I have a pretty smart, clever, I like dry, sarcastic sense of humor. So, but, and it's like, yeah. I guess a lot of men, they find that emasculating, or I don't know.
Yeah, of course. Well, I think what it is that I think in order to have that kind of sense of humor, you have to have like a clear perception of what could actually happen in reality and what could not. Like, obviously it's ridiculous. Like, I guess people do, you know, I actually learned this the hard way because I have a little bar that I go into pretty regularly. It's a breakfast bar. And like, literally you have drinks for breakfast. It's fantastic. And I go in there like maybe 4 or 5 times a week. Not now, obviously, but I went in there one morning and I went on this, like, I'm not drinking kick. It was sad and terrible. And of course the people who were used to me having like 3 whiskeys with my coffee were like, what the fuck are you doing with your life? Cause I was there 4 days a week. And so I go in there and they're like, what do you, you know, you want your regular, meaning like a warm cup of whiskey, basically. And I'm like, no, I'm not drinking. And they're like, I'm sorry, what? And so I say, yeah, I decided that I'm not drinking anymore. I'm just eating Xanax for breakfast. And nobody laughed. And I was like really hurt by that. And so I was like talking to one of my friends and I was like, I don't understand why they didn't laugh. This was our mutual friend. And she said, like, some people actually do that. It's a little bit too close to reality.
And
like,
some people, be like, I say a lot of my jokes with, like, a straight face. Like, it's not always, like, waka, 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 like, campy humor and stuff. And it's like, I think a lot of people, I guess, don't have that and can't tell, like, are you serious or are you kidding?
Yes. And I think you have to get to know, and I think that was something I learned, too, like, I always, in my mind, I know that I'm kidding. So to me, it just sounds funny. And people who know me kind of know where that line is. But when people don't really know you, like, I don't think my humor was landing with him as humor. I think he was, like, fully insulted and emasculated, like, 100%. You know, and also probably thinking, like, this is fucking ballsy. Like.
And that's crazy. Like, you would come into someone's home and just start, like, seriously insulting it. You know what I mean? Like,
right, of course. And I wasn't, it wasn't
was
even
a joke.
Insulted, but, like, right. Like, to me, it's a hilarious question.
The banter.
If I had a rotunda with no staircase and bedrooms in the balcony, and someone said to me, where's the stairs? How are the people you're keeping in the rooms getting out? I would laugh at that. Because it seems... Yeah, he didn't find that funny.
He took it as an accusation.
But also, maybe he had people there.
Yeah, maybe it hit too close to home. Yeah. And not everyone has that fabulous sense of humor. So what is your takeaway?
Exactly.
What did you learn from all this?
Well, I stopped doing Bumble, first of all. And I think, like I said, Kevin, red flag name. Definitely don't want to date a Kevin. And I think that... that gray space that I was talking about, like when they're walking that line of like, it could be humor, but they could be serious, you know? And I think it's always safe to err on the side of they're probably serious. Like if they're ha ha ha, I'm going to take you down to my basement movie room and like hack you into pieces. Like maybe take that seriously, you know?
They're
like,
dipping a toe
maybe,
in to see if you're interested.
Yeah.
In
yeah. They're just trying to see, like, I even think when I look back on it, like, things like him just leaving in the middle of the conversation to go take a shower. Like, I think that was dipping a toe in. Like, how's she going to react if I just fucking bail right in the middle? You know, like, if I could go back and do it again, I would have just left at that point. Like, this is bullshit. Bye. You know?
Yeah.
Never had that happen before. It was like, it seemed so outrageous. And until he walked out, I didn't even know where he was. I was just like, okay, I guess he went to the bathroom or went to another one of the 50 rooms in his house, you know?
And you wouldn't, like, you guys did not know each other. You hadn't hung out that much at that point. Like, and you wouldn't even go to a friend's house you've known for years and be like cooking dinner in the kitchen and turn around and all of a sudden that person was in the shower. That's weird.
It's so weird. So I think it's like, I do think that things like that, when they are just kind of like testing, like, how is she going to react if I do this? Like, even the going into the living room after the shower and just sitting there and watching TV, like, who does that? That's
and just
so
acting
bizarre.
Like you're not in the house.
Right. Just like, or like I'm a maid cooking dinner for him or something. Like, thanks for being in the other room cooking my dinner. So yeah, I think that was kind of my takeaway. I mean, just, I guess, erring on the side of like taking them seriously. Like, if they seem like they're pushing or a limit or towing a line, they probably are. You know, it's like that quote where it's like that when someone shows you their true colors, believe them the first time. And see, this is a problem for me because I'm a very competitive person. So when someone gives me pushback, I'm like, oh, okay, I see what we're doing. And then I want to, like, my natural instinct is to push back. And I'm smarter than most men. So that's fun for me. You know, like, there's
it's
like
a fun
engaging
banner until all of a sudden he's enraged.
Right. Correct. Until they're like chasing you out. But you know, it's so funny you mentioned American Psycho, because that image of Christian Bale is like exactly how he was. Like the super narcissistic, completely self-obsessed
Christian Bale.
Yes. And then, you know, like the scenes in the movie where he's like being smiley and funny, but then he's like in the bar, and then under his breath he's like talking about how he's going to chop them up into little pieces. Like, that is this guy, you know. And like, I had this joke where I would like say that I would call him like a thug lawyer, because I was like, oh yeah, you know, no one can ever trust a defense attorney. Like, you're defending the criminals, let's not forget. And you know, there's that quote from Breaking Bad where they're going to meet Saul, and Jesse tells Walt something like, you know, if you're looking for a criminal attorney, you need a criminal attorney. And so I had like jokingly said that to him, like, I know what you defense lawyers are doing. And that would like really push his buttons, you know? So I think I got out safely, you know, thank God. But I definitely am a little bit more cautious with like how far I take my joking and making sure that, like, guys are aware that I'm joking. Like, oh, do you think that was serious? Because I wasn't being serious. You know, I don't actually eat Xanax for breakfast every day. But, you know. Like,
but it's not a hard no on that either. So it's like, you know, if I want one,
exactly.
I will.
Right, exactly. So I haven't seen him or heard from him at all. That was, like, beginning of last summer. That's almost a year now.
Well, I would be curious to check just like arrest records and do a little background check on him and see what comes up. But
yeah, he's a mess.
Thank you so much for this red flag story. And I have a feeling you might have some more. So at some other point,
yeah,
can we talk again?
For sure. I have a ton. I have a ton of bizarro stories. You have no idea. I don't know how it happened. Like, I just...
All of a sudden,
know,
you find yourself in a what-the-fuck situation. How did
seriously,
I fucking get here?
How did this happen? Like, man. But they do make cute scarves. That's the thing. You're like, I'll collect them, and then I'll sew them together. It's fine.
It's going to be
fine.
He'll calm down, and we'll eat dinner. It'll be great.
Yeah, correct. So,
and then start thinking like maybe he was super sweaty or something. It's like, no, there's no excuse for it. You're rationalizing irrational behavior. Like, I don't know.
Of course.
But so, thank you so much again.
You're welcome.
And
you're welcome.
We loved this, and I hope we can talk again.
Good. Yeah, sure. You have my number.
Okay. Thanks, Felicia.
Okay.
Bye.
All right, bye.